Hello, and welcome to the Self-Sufficient Hub podcast. I'm Carl from selfsufficienthub.com, and I'm here to talk about all things self-sufficiency, all things homesteading, and about how we can reduce the gap between our consumption and our production. Sustainability and food security matters. This episode of the Self-Sufficient Hub podcast was brought to you by our patrons. You guys are awesome. If you'd like to support the show, there's lots of ways you can do it. The easiest of which is just to like and review it wherever you get our podcasts. You can also tell somebody about it, whether that's on social media or just face-to-face with a friend who you think might benefit from it. But however you support our podcast, we really, really appreciate it. If you'd like to become a patron, please consider doing so by going to patreon.com/selfsufficienthub. However you support the podcast, it's listeners like you that make all of this possible. Thank you ever so much for listening, and I'll speak to you really soon. Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 348 of the Self-Sufficient Hub podcast. I hope you're all safe and well. Today, we are looking at the cost of living crisis, as it's being called here in the UK, and around the world, most of us are seeing inflation, and coupled with that, we're also seeing problems in the supply chain, things perhaps not being on the supermarket shelves that we've grown accustomed to. And I've got to be honest, I don't think that there's an end in sight in the near-term future. So we're going to be talking about how we can protect ourselves against this as best we can. We're going to talk about how we can perhaps save some money on our fuel bills and all those kinds of things, because the cost of fuel is obviously going up, and we've seen various things on this theme over the last few years, haven't we? First with the pandemic, and now with the invasion of Ukraine. There's just a huge, it's like a perfect storm, and everything's coming together all at once, and we're seeing it represented as a huge increase in the cost of fuel, which has massive knock-on effects for inflation, because everything you buy has been produced using fuel. So the cost of it has gone up, meaning the cost of producing pretty much everything has gone up, and the cost of then getting that in situ for you to purchase it has gone up, coupling with the what's happening in the job market and everything else. And we're being told here in the UK that we shouldn't expect price rises in our pay. We should only expect them at the tills. So, you know, we're all in a different position based on where we are in the world, but I think most of us are in the same boat of seeing this sort of inflation really hitting us in the pocket. Now, the cost of fuel here in the UK is going to be going up again in the autumn, the cost of house fuel, you know, fuel, I'm talking about electric and things like that. So the cost of living really, really is going up, and the wages that people are able to command is not rising at nearly the same rate. So the upshot of that is we are getting poorer, and that manifests itself when we look at our budgets. So let's have a look at some of the different ways that we can mitigate this. Now, of course, Ukraine and Russia produce an awful lot of the world's grain, an awful lot of the world's wheat, and that wheat goes to feed animals and goes to feed us. So I think, if you know, my understanding is that if you live in the first world country, we're unlikely to see things actually being affected insofar as being unavailable with grains. We're still going to be able to buy bread, we're still going to be able to buy flour, but some of our poorer neighbours around the world perhaps aren't as fortunate, and they will be the ones who are seeing the real shortages in those products. But what we will see is a huge price hike in those products because there's less of them available. So the reason we're still going to be able to see them is because we're basically willing to pay more than some of the poorer parts of the world. So there are no winners here, just varying degrees of losers, but we're certainly far better off than some places in the world are going to be at the later stages of this year, I think, with regards to stock and availability. So the cost of fertilizer, because again, Russia produces so much of the world's fertilizer. The cost of fertilizer has also gone through the roof, which means that if you are someone who buys it, you'll be seeing those primarily, but secondarily, we'll be seeing them again in the cost of our food. So all of these things are having a huge impact. And one of the ways this is manifesting, which is a little bit unusual, something I wasn't expecting, is a lot of the own brands and the value ranges that we would see in supermarkets are actually reducing. We're seeing things being taken off the shelves and we're seeing the prices go up by 10 or 15% across the board. So it's really at that budget end that people are going to feel the pinch even more, meaning that this is affecting those that are already potentially struggling to make ends meet more than those who aren't. So it's a real, I don't really know how to describe it, but it's a real shame that this is the fact and the reality going forward. But we are where we are, and there's nothing we can do about that. So all we can do, as I always say, is take our own personal responsibility and make sure that we are doing our bit. Now, that doesn't mean that we should only look at ourselves. And if we're in a position to, we should probably consider doing a little bit more with regards to altruism. So if you're in a position to, maybe considering giving a bit more to food banks. If you're producing surplus of things in your own property, then maybe food banks is a great way that you can use that surplus and do some good. But in terms of protecting ourselves and making sure that we aren't necessarily going to be caught up in this horrible cycle, there are lots of things that we can do and that we can consider. Like I say, the costs are only going to continue going up at least for the next year or so. So one thing we can think about is buying things now that we might not be going to use for a little while, because the money that we spend now is only going to devalue. You know, if you take a pound now, what you can buy with it is more than what you'll be able to buy with it in a year's time. So it's definitely worth thinking about buying things in bulk if you're able to, particularly if that comes with savings. So rather than buying 4 toilet rolls, buy the pack of 12, you know, if you've got space. And, you know, toilet rolls are one of those things I always suggest that you have plenty on store as well, all at all times. And we all know why these days, but, you know, you can extrapolate that out across the board. If you're buying canned goods and you've got the storage space, buy an extra 2 or 3. This is going to do 2 things. So firstly, what it's going to do is it's going to increase your food storage at home, which is great. It means that should the event arise that you're unable to purchase things in the store, you're already covered. You know, you've got that little bit of extra flexibility because you've got 2 weeks or 4 weeks or 2 months or 6 months or whatever it might be of food at home already. Whatever you've got, if it's canned goods and things that keep for a long time, then consider stocking up on a few more, because like I say, the price of those goods are only going to go up over the next year. So now is a great time to consider increasing your storage and buying things in bulk if you can. And like I say, a lot of the time you'll find that if you buy things in bulk, they're cheaper again. So buying 12 of something is going to, if they come in a 12 pack, buying that 12 pack is going to cost less than buying 12 times the individual item. So I'm not suggesting that you waste money. I'm not suggesting that you borrow money to do this. You know, don't do this on a credit card unless you're able to pay the credit card off every month. But if you have the disposable income to do so, now is a great time to invest that in things that you would buy anyway down the line. If perhaps you're thinking of doing a large project in your garden, perhaps you're thinking of building a fence next year, perhaps you're thinking of erecting a shed next year and you're going to do it all yourself, then if you come across those materials at a reasonable price now, then now is definitely a time to consider buying them, even if you're not going to use them for 6 months or a year, because they're only going to be more expensive when you do come round to doing that project. And another thing we can do, and as homesteaders, we've got a huge advantage here, is when we see things reduced or on offer at the supermarket, we can buy them because we can preserve them. So if you see if you have offered to you a huge batch of something from someone, then we can take them on and we can preserve them. So think about your preservation skills and think about using them to preserve some items that are on offer now, rather than having to buy them at full price down the road. You know, this goes across the board. I know Alan from the Homesteading UK podcast, who's a frequent guest on our show. He was given the opportunity to basically take home a huge amount of tomatoes last year because it was from a commercial kitchen. It might even have been his school kitchen, but they were just going to go to waste otherwise. And Alan was able to turn them all into passata and put them in the fridge and get a use out of them because he was already geared up. He already had the skills to do that and the ability to do that. So putting ourselves in that position where we can say yes to those things is another great way of taking advantage of things that would otherwise go to waste and using it to save ourselves some money. Now, of course, something we're all going to be doing, I imagine, is growing our own food and just thinking about making sure that we are doing our best to grow as much food as we can so that we're not having to spend that money in the supermarket. Things like salads. You can buy a packet of salad seeds like cut and come again lettuce and things like that, which will cost you probably the cost of one bag of salad in the supermarket. And you can grow enough salad for a whole year quite easily from the cost of that one packet of seeds. So if there's things you're buying in the supermarket, there's things you're buying at the farmer's market, just think to yourself, is this something I could grow myself? Do I have the space? Do I have the ability to grow this? And if the answer's yes or maybe, then go for it and try and reduce the cost of your supermarket shop that way. Another way to reduce your costs is to cook things from scratch, even if you're buying the ingredients. I can't think of many things that I can't cook cheaper than I could buy the finished meal for here at home. And cooking from scratch is another great way of saving money because not only does it give you the ability to buy the raw ingredients, which you can then, again, buy in bulk, and all of these things will compound on top of one another, but they're also going to help you reduce your waste because you're going to be able to use leftovers and incorporate them into the next meal and the next meal. So it's a great way of reducing our waste. And by reducing our waste, we're always saving money. We're always saving money every time we can do that. So cooking from scratch is huge. And if it's something you're not yet in the habit of, then maybe now is the time to consider it. And if you are in the habit of it, then maybe you just step up your game. And one of the things we do that I've mentioned several times is I batch cook. So I cook more than we're going to eat that meal with the express purpose of saving it. Because one of the other things that I like to do and that I'm really focusing on now is actually reducing our oven use, reducing the time that our oven is on, because that's something that costs quite a lot of money to run. And with the cost of electricity going through the roof, it's something we can all, by taking some really simple steps, really think about how we can reduce. Now, if you don't have a smart meter and you live in the UK, you can get one for free. You just have to speak to your electricity supplier, tell them you'd like a smart meter, and they will come and fit one for you. And there's a few benefits for this. Firstly, it allows your electricity company to know exactly what you've used. You don't need to read your meter anymore or have someone come and read it. It's all done remotely. And secondly, it allows you to see what electricity you're using. And you can see what each appliance uses. You can turn the oven on and look at the difference in how much per minute you're paying for your electricity with the oven on and the oven off. So having a smart meter, I think, is a good way of taking some control over what it is you're spending on your energy. So we're using alternatives to the cooker as well. So things like a slow cooker could be really cost effective. If you're cooking something slowly, then doing it in a slow cooker is much more economical in most cases than doing it in the oven. If you're going to be boiling vegetables, then bringing that water to the boil in your kettle and then adding it to your pot is going to be a lot cheaper than bringing that water to the boil in the pot on the hob. And perhaps using something like an air fryer. If you're going to be using the oven and you want to cook something in the oven, using an air fryer to cook it instead, if you have one, is also going to be a cheaper way of doing it if it fits, because you're heating a much smaller space. And an air fryer, I think, is something that I have got on my wish list for my birthday, which is in a few weeks. So hopefully we'll be having a bit more to say about that in future episodes. While we're talking about energy and fuel and smart meters, There's a company in the UK called Utility Warehouse, and if they provide your electricity, now I'm not suggesting that you switch electricity suppliers to Utility Warehouse if they're more expensive, but have a look, look them up, see what it would cost to have them provide your electricity, because they will come to your house and they will take out all of your light bulbs and exchange them for low energy light bulbs free of charge. Now, if you haven't got low energy light bulbs, then switching to low energy light bulbs is going to save you some money. But if you've got to pay for those light bulbs, then depending on how big your house is, you could be talking over £100. So it's definitely one to consider. And we've mentioned smart meters for your electricity. Also, if you're on a water meter, we're actually not on this property. We don't have metered water. I think because there's five of us living here and my kids love to take a shower every day, I think we'd actually be worse off if we put a water meter in. But if you have a water meter, there may be some cost savings there. And in addition to that, if you already have a water meter, almost all of the water supply companies, at least here in the UK, they have free water saving gadgets available that you just need to request. If you go on their website or just Google water saving gadgets, water supplier free, then it'll come up and you go to your water supplier and they'll have loads of gadgets for reducing the amount of water that's running through your taps, reducing the amount of water in your cistern, loads of ways that you can reduce that and in so doing reduce your charges there. Another way that we can consider reducing our outgoings is by looking at our animal feed. Now, again, this is a drum I frequently bang, so forgive me if you're bored of me saying it, but looking at ways to reduce the cost of your animal feed, whether it's by using surplus things that other places are throwing out, as we have done in the past, whether it's collecting rotting fruit and veg from fruit and vegetable shops to feed your pigs, whether it's from trimming your hedges to feed your goats, or whether it's by saving your food scraps to give to your chickens. These are all things that we can look at to reduce the cost of our animal feed. And animal feed, again, is linked very much to the cost of fertilizer, the cost of fuel, the cost of grains. These are all things that are going to go up even more, and they've gone up substantially in the last 6 months or so. Like I say, they're only going to go up more. This is also a great time to consider your networks for bartering. Do you have things that you're producing a surplus of? Do you have people that you can swap them with other things for? So my wife talks to her colleagues at work at the school. They all know what we're doing. She's frequently taking in eggs that she might sell, but we're also starting to get things coming back the other way now. We had quite a lot of seedlings turn up at our house, which was nice, just last week, which were just given to my wife in exchange for a few eggs. If you have an allotment, then speak to everyone down there at the allotment and maybe consider setting up your own little network, your own little board of people. However you think about doing it, I imagine one day if I ever had an allotment with a shared space, what I'd like to do is have a big board there where people just list their surplus things and people could sort of arrange their own swaps. I think that would be quite a simple thing to set up. So, you know, a network for bartering can be really, really useful. Another thing that we've mentioned before is just the utility of free things. So remember, we were talking about that garden project, building the garden shed or building a new garden fence. Well, using FreeCycle, Facebook Marketplace, Craigslist for things that are being given away for free, you might be surprised at what you can actually get hold of with regards to building materials. Now, you have to use your judgment and you have to weigh up on one hand how far away they are and the cost of going to pick them up with fuel and everything else. But generally speaking, you can pick up some real bargains there. And if you're considering buying garden tools and things, buy secondhand. They are available at an absolute fraction of the cost. And quite often you will get a much higher quality piece of equipment than if you were to buy the cheapest new option available. So by using things like thrift stores, secondhand stores, charity shops, we can consider using secondhand and not only save some money, but also save some carbon footprint at the same time by not having to have that thing, that new thing made for our needs. So that's another way we can consider cutting down on our costs. But the ultimate The ultimate goal for me, and I would advocate for everyone, could be to basically not be reliant on anything from the shops. Now, that doesn't mean we don't use them, but there's a difference between using and being reliant on. And again, it comes down to things like food storage and your long-term plans for propagating your crops and everything else. Okay, can you be in a position where next year you don't need to buy any seeds? Can you be in that position now? That would be great. We haven't bought a single seed packet this year. I've got a huge caveat there. We did buy quite a lot of seedlings, but we had enough seeds, we wouldn't have needed to buy any seedlings. And truth be told, we probably don't need to buy any seeds next year either, by propagation, by using perennials, and by using the seeds that we already have. I'm sure we would be fine for several years if we didn't buy another seed. Do you have some food storage that's going to get you by that necessity for having to go to the shop, where maybe they haven't got what you want in 2 months' time, or maybe what you want is a lot more expensive? You know, just by reducing our reliance. Like I say, it doesn't mean we don't use them. It doesn't mean we live in a bunker. But just by reducing our reliance means we're in a much stronger position to make the choices that make sense for us financially going forwards. So those are my tips for dealing with the cost of living crisis, as it's being called, for dealing with the current supply chain problems, and for dealing with the impending inflation that is looming over us all. And I hope that you found that useful. If you've got any other tips that I haven't mentioned today, or if you've got ideas for future episodes or questions that you'd like answered, please do get in touch. selfsufficientcontact@gmail.com, or you can follow the link in the show notes and leave me a voice message, which will then appear on the show. Thanks for listening, everyone, and I will speak to you on Friday. Cheers.